Welcome to Awesome Autism Tools. Before we dive into today's episode, I want to tell you about something really special that I've put together as a gift for you. Because I know so many of you want a little more peace, a little more support, and maybe a little bit more help from heaven in your everyday life. I have a free mini class called Ask Your Angels, They're Anxious to Assist. And it's honestly one of my favorite things that I've ever made. It is a simple five-part series that teaches you how to actually ask for angelic help in your parenting, your daily tasks, your worries, and even those moments when you feel totally alone. I share stories, tools, and the exact steps I use when I'm asking for angels in my own life. You can watch it or you can listen to it on a private podcast if you love learning on the go. So if you've ever wondered, are angels helping me or how do I ask for help and actually feel it? This is the class for you. It's totally free and you can join by clicking the link in the show notes or going to awesomeautismtools.com/angels. I remember the moment vividly. The night I dropped my husband off at the airport for his 3-week long trip to Southeast Asia, with the days of quiet ahead of me and a long drive home, I pressed play on the telepathy tapes, not knowing that what I was about to hear would shift something deep within me. From the very first moments, I felt a mix of intrigue and a little bit of hesitation washing over me. There was something in those voices, something in those stories of non-speaking autistic children demonstrating extraordinary abilities that definitely resonated as truth in my spirit. But even as I listened, part of me recognized the gravity of what I was encountering. I sensed that if I kept listening, really listening, it would change my life forever. That knowing was both thrilling and a little scary. So at first I resisted. After an episode or two, I found myself pulling back, creating a little bit of distance from what I had heard. I remember praying to God about it and just saying, I don't know if I'll listen to any more of those episodes. God, in his infinite patience and grace, replied, you can listen more if you want, and if you don't, that's okay too. It's up to you. There was no pressure, no demands, just gentle permission to choose my own path. That divine gentleness was exactly what my soul needed. Within days, I found myself drawn back, binge listening to every episode available. What had started as cautious curiosity became a headlong dive into a journey of introspection, study, and profound transformation. It was actually beautiful that my husband was out of town because I had a lot of empty time to ponder and integrate what I was learning. The telepathy tapes didn't just challenge my understanding of consciousness and communication. They opened something within me that had been waiting, perhaps for many years, to be acknowledged. They became the key that unlocked my willingness to see my own gifts, and most importantly, they gave me the courage to share them more openly with the world, and definitely with the non-speaking community. This is the story of that journey, how a podcast about extraordinary children helped me discover the extraordinary that was already within me, waiting to be embraced. Binge listening to all the episodes and pondering on it for 2 weeks, a persistent thought haunted me. I had been working with non-speakers for over 10 years. 10 years of energy work and life coaching and more conventional thoughts about communication. But now, after hearing about the Hill, where these extraordinary children connected telepathically, a wild possibility wouldn't leave my mind. What if I could go there too? What if I could go to the Hill? What if I could communicate with them in this profound way? So the rational part of me dismissed it as fantasy, and I didn't really resonate with the idea of telepathy. In fact, I tried it with my friend. Maybe I do have telepathy. And no, when I tried to do that with my friend, I definitely did not have telepathy. But then I listened to a different podcast with one of the children's mom on it, and she talked about how her son referred to it as spirit-to-spirit communication. All right, that resonated with me. I felt like that was something I could understand and appreciate. So this thought of going to the Hill persisted, growing stronger each day like a gentle but insistent knock on the door of my consciousness. Finally, 2 weeks after that life-changing drive home from the airport, I found myself on my knees in prayer and asking God, should I try this? Should I attempt to go to the Hill? And the answer came, Yes, try it. So that changed everything. My intention when going to the Hill was to communicate with Sterling. This is one of the non-speakers that I've worked with every morning for years. So I was very familiar with his energy. I knew his parents very well. They trusted me. I trust them. It's a very healthy relationship where I'm helping their child. And I knew that if I was able to communicate with them on the Hill, they would be fine with that. So I got myself into a meditative state, just letting my mind quiet and my spirit open. And I set my intention to go to the Hill. But the Hill had its own plans. Instead of Sterling being the one that I saw at first, it was Jay who surprised me by welcoming me. Jay was the very first non-speaker I had ever interacted with over 11 years ago. Also, I had had many experiences with him through the years, so his presence was unmistakable, warm, and filled with a joy that made my heart soar. In that moment, everything I thought I knew about communication, about consciousness, about barriers I had spent a decade trying to bridge through energy work, simply melted away. That breakthrough was about recognizing that the connections I had been seeking with non-speakers had always been possible. I just hadn't known how to listen. After talking with Jay for a bit, I did get to talk to Sterling also, and I contacted both of their parents right away and let them know what happened. They were thrilled at what I had been able to do. It was in fact Sterling's dad who had introduced me to the telepathy tape, so he was so excited. But what really shocked my mind is when I excitedly shared my experience with Jay's mother, she reminded me in a way that would forever change how I understood my own journey. She said, "Jay spoke to you spirit to spirit 11 years ago, that very first night that you two met." 11 years. The words hit me like lightning. All this time, I thought I was discovering something entirely new, maybe a gift that I was just beginning to develop. But the truth was far more profound and sad in some ways. I had been carrying this ability for over a decade. That very first night when Jay communicated with me spirit to spirit, I had felt something and heard something that I couldn't quite name or understand. And I reached out to his mom, which was appropriate, and we started doing energy work for him. And I was able to get some messages from him for her that way. But speaking with him directly on the Hill was very different. And this realization was both humbling and exhilarating. This wasn't about acquiring a new skill. It was about finally having the courage to fully embrace what had always been there, waiting patiently for me to be able to receive it. Over the years since that first encounter with Jay, I had been unknowingly honing these gifts through my energy work practice. What had started as tentative steps into alternative healing had evolved into refined skills, developed protocols, and established practices. And I have helped so many people, lots of parents of children on the spectrum and the children themselves, as well as so many others, never fully realizing that the foundation of my work had been built on that very first spirit-to-spirit connection with Jay. I was right when I knew that the telepathy tapes would change my life. It changed the focus of who I work with and serve, but what it really did was help me understand that we already have everything we need within us. The gifts, the intuition, the ability to connect beyond the conventional boundaries of communication. They're not something you need to acquire or learn from scratch. They're something you need to remember, maybe to dust off or courageously embrace. For 11 years, I carried this gift without fully recognizing it. How many of you are walking around right now with extraordinary abilities that you're dismissing as coincidence, imagination, or wishful thinking? How many times have you felt that inexplicable knowing, that sudden insight about someone else's needs? That moment when you sensed exactly what your non-speaking child was trying to communicate, and then talked yourself out of trusting it. The telepathy tapes didn't give me telepathic abilities, and honestly, I don't think I have telepathic abilities, but they gave me permission to believe in possibilities and to experiment with those ideas and to recognize my ability to communicate spirit to spirit. If this story resonates with you, if you've ever felt that flutter of recognition when you sensed something beyond the ordinary, then I invite you to consider this. What if you've been carrying gifts all along that you simply haven't given yourself permission to fully embrace? Whether you're a parent of a child on the spectrum desperately seeking deeper connection, a practitioner working with non-speakers, or simply someone who has always felt there was more to communication than words, your intuitive knowing is not coincidence. It's not your imagination. It's a gift wanting to be acknowledged. The first step is the hardest, but it's also the simplest. Start paying attention. Trust that flutter in your chest when you sense what someone needs before they say it. Honor that moment when you feel your non-speaking child's emotions wash over you. Give credence to those insights that seem to come from nowhere but feel absolutely true. You don't need to wait 11 years like I did. You don't need a podcast to give you permission. You just need the courage to trust what you already know. Somewhere deep in your spirit is real. Your gifts are not waiting to be discovered. They're waiting to be remembered. I've started a membership for moms of non-speakers. Once a month, we have a class designed specifically for them, the moms, to work on developing tools or trust in themselves and their intuition. And we meet together twice a month to share with one another in a safe space. Just last week, I was working with a group of moms, each carrying the weight of loving a non-speaking child in a world that often doesn't understand. One mom shared how she now realized that her son was giving her messages through images in her mind. Then the other mom started sharing how they get messages in different ways. I looked at each of these beautiful, powerful, intuitive mothers and thought, "You're not making it up. It's not wishful thinking. You are receiving messages from your child. Trust what you know." And that's what I encourage them to do, is to trust themselves, to work on increasing their own powers, to take actions to increase their trust and their connection with themselves and with their child. When I share this information with moms, the relief that floods their face is profound. They are not lacking in communication with their children. In some ways, they're drowning in it. They just need permission to believe in what they are already experiencing. This is what happens when we start honoring the connections that have always been there. This is what unfolds when we give ourselves permission to trust the knowing that transcends words. Your non-speaking child is already communicating with you. Your intuitive gifts are already active. The question isn't whether you have the ability. The question is whether you'll have the courage to trust it. Your gifts are not waiting to be discovered. They're waiting to be remembered, trusted, and celebrated. I have finally chosen to open the gift that has always been mine, even if I don't fully understand its depth yet. Sometimes the most profound gifts reveal themselves gradually, unfolding as we step into them with intention and trust. I'm definitely stepping into something bigger than myself, a path that allows me to see and hear those who are waiting to be understood. If you, as a mom, are needing to be seen and understood, please reach out to me. I'd love to share how I can help. Or if you have a non-speaking child that wants to be heard, I'm happy to help by doing a spirit-to-spirit session for them as well. I'm so excited to announce I'm having an Angel 5-day Voxer group. A Voxer group is a small private chat where we all share the same space, kind of like a cozy living room, but you're on your phone. And you get to do it on your own time. There's no scheduled calls. There's no pressure. You just show up when you can, listen, and then you're able to share your thoughts and feelings. It's kind of like an interactive podcast. Inside this 5-day Angel Voxer group, you'll be able to hear short voice memos from me. You'll be able to share your own messages or questions. You can share your angel experiences. You can ask for prayers or support. We'll celebrate miracles together. And the other thing that I'll be doing is giving a daily prompt every day so that you can practice interacting and asking your angels for help. I think it's going to be a lot of fun, and I'm so excited to see you there. It will be December 8th through the 12th, and the link is in the show notes if you want to sign up. I hope to see you there.